You're listening to the Hope Shot Recovery Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Hope Shot. Hope you guys had a great weekend. Man, I know that I did, and I'm sure everybody else has. I know Nathan did, definitely. And actually, we all probably did. We're all tired. It's been one of those months. It's been one of those weeks. It's been one of those days. Life gets busy, man, especially in recovery. We're praying for the things we have today and then doing without complaining, being grateful for the busyness of life and the ever-evolving, ever-changing, and ever-fast-paced of it, right? But anyways, let's get Caesar to read this beautiful clarity statement.
Be an honor and a privilege to read this beautiful clarity statement.
Thanks, Caesar.
This is the Hope Shot Clarity Statement.
Wait, there you go.
Hope Shot are a group of people in recovery spreading inspiration. We come from all different walks of life and pathways of recovery. Our verbiage may be different at times, but we all have one thing in common. Recovery is a lifestyle. We support all pathways of recovery. It doesn't matter how you get from A to Z, just get there. And thank you for being a part of our Hope Shot family.
Thanks, Caesar. Tonight we don't have nothing, to be honest with you. And that's what the topic's going to be nothing.
We got nothing.
We have nothing.
It's like that Seinfeld episode where they're making a show about nothing. What's the show about? It's about nothing.
Nothing. Just nothing's going on. Nothing's happening. Well, there's a lot going on. There's a lot happening, but the show is about nothing. You know, but we're just going to do little check-ins and maybe just see where we're at. And I know I'm in my office. Caesar looks like he's in his living room. Nathan looks like a bedroom. And Melissa looks like an office. Definitely. Definitely. So
I got some. All right.
So, I knew you would. I just tried to give you a minute.
So I was thinking about reservations, not to a restaurant, but just reservations in your recovery. And Doug, I made you laugh. I love that.
See, reservations,
every time that I got on this recovery path, you know, barring the last time that I have stayed in recovery, always had some sort of reservation. I just got to get off paper. I got to get off probation. That was the goal. The goal wasn't long-term recovery, or I just got to get back in the house, or I just got to get a job and get my car back. When I put these limitations, these reservations on my recovery, and when I reach that goal, then what? Okay, hey, I'm off paper. And then I repeat the cycle again. So in our literature, it talks about having no reservations, no lurking notion, like that we're positive that this is where we want to be, that this is what we need, what we want, and what we're willing to work for. And that was the biggest difference in everything. I didn't put a time limit on it. I didn't put a goal of, man, I just got to get a year. I got to get this. I don't got to get anything. I got to learn how to live sober. I got to learn how to live without putting something in my body every time something scary happens or something that I have to face, all of this stuff. So I thought about that early on, and it was hard for me to see very far into a future that I had never lived. But the first time that I really looked at it was I was doing the right thing out of rehab for like 6 months. And I went in to see my probation officer, and I was supposed to be on probation just forever. I shouldn't even have been on the streets, but God was working and I was out on the streets, and they gave me another shot at probation after my probation officer came from Tampa, drove up to Pasco just to make sure to tell the judge that I am not a candidate for probation and that they're making a huge mistake by putting me on paper because I belonged in prison, and that was the only place I belonged. But they didn't listen to them, and they let me be on paper. So I'm thinking I got years left, and this guy's filling out the paperwork. He goes, we're going to give you early term, man. You've just been doing great things. Like, you're active in your community. You've never missed an appointment. I was like, whoa. what? You're going to let me off probation? That's crazy. I've never heard of such a thing. And I went and I told my sponsor what was going on. And he was like, so what are you going to do now? I was like, what do you mean? What am I going to do now? He's like, apparently you have a court date next week and they're going to release you from everything. So you don't have to go to meetings. You don't have to get your paper signed. You don't have to do any of this. So what are you going to do? And I was like, holy crap. I hadn't been in a position in, I don't know, 20 plus years that I wasn't under some kind of supervision or locked up or in a rehab or, and I was looking at freedom, like actual freedom for the first time. And I thought about it and I was like, I'm going to do the exact same crap that I've been doing, man. I'm going to keep going to my meetings and my home group, and I'm going to keep doing this, and I'm going to keep being of service. And he goes, huh, why? I was like, because I've never, this is uncharted territory. And the only reason that I'm in this uncharted territory is what I've been doing. I was like, I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I know that I got a different result today because I did something different. I want to keep going down this path. We limit ourselves a lot by, it's great to have goals for bettering your life and all of that, but when it comes to like recovery and growing spiritually, there's not like a deadline or a timeline or a finish line or any of those things. And I cannot limit the power that's working in my life by going, if I just can get a nicer house, I'll be good. That was the goal. I've accomplished the goal. Let's pop the corks and all of that stuff. So I don't know, reservations. We couldn't come up with anything to talk about. And for some reason that popped into my mind, because a lot of people come into recovery court ordered, or they come into recovery with some kind of goal of mind, put their family back together. I got to get back with the wife, or I got to get back with the husband. They're not going to talk to me until I get sober. But if that's the goal, if that's it, to get back into the house, to get off paper, to get a job, then when you get that, what's that look like? Do you pick back up where you left off and burn it all down again? So I was taught that if I'm going to do this thing, I cannot have any reservations or any lurking notions that I'm going to go back to any of this. Like I can't, I'm just going to drink beer on the weekends once I get off paper. I now can see clearly backwards and know how dumb that sounds for me, because I can't do any of that. Like that doesn't work for me. I'm not a normal person that can go and have beers on the weekends. I will run that through the wall, but I don't know. It's just, I feel like it was really important for that to be understood. And my sponsor made sure to tell me, he's like, don't get so lost future tripping. Like when we say never, ever again, that's like the point of the just for today or the one day at a time. All I've got to worry about is not picking anything up today. But the goal is open-ended. It's like forever. Like I don't have to trip about what 15 years from now looks like, but I certainly have a picture in my head today of a sober and healthy Caesar 15 years from now that I could have never had that picture in my head when I walked in this door, because it was so scary to think of a life without alcohol and drugs. But I've stuck around long enough to know that's like a beautiful future that I want to be a part of, that I don't fear anymore. So that's what I got. I hope you guys can turn that into a fantastic topic. Just got
to get to blank.
Fill in the blank.
That's what I got. I mean, that's what I got out of all that, bro. I think that's pretty damn good. That's condensed. It's condensed.
Condensed. Just don't limit your recovery by placing reservations or timelines on it. Just do your thing one day at a time and keep growing.
Yeah. I like that, Caesar. The future tripping. I'm always using that future tripping stuff because I'm really good at future tripping. And it puts me in a state of fear three times. Isn't that your rap name? Huh?
Isn't that your rap name?
Yeah, it is. Future tripping.
DJ Future tripping.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for real. That's what I do. And I do that three or four times a week, and then I have to reel myself back in with help from a Nathan and a Caesar. Yeah, because I like the future trip. I'm like, it ain't working out. Everything's screwed up. Oh man, what's the point? But it's just like when I first got in recovery, same deal. It's just I got some time under my belt now. It lessens that, the blow lessens as we go forward for that future trip and stuff. That's what we should have just named the topic, future tripping. But we're just gonna keep adding like we did last week. Oh man, yeah, that future tripping. But no, it's like when I first got in recovery, man, I was scared to even do it because like our life was encased in drinking and partying and living at the bar and getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. How the hell am I supposed to keep this, my wife now, but my girlfriend at the time, how am I supposed to keep her interested when all I have is party mode? I have nothing in me to freaking keep somebody actually wanting interested. I have nothing to offer anybody. The only thing I have is, woo, party. You know what I mean? That's the best I got. That's the best I got, really. But I was... What do you want to say, Caesar?
No, I was going to say that was the best we had. Like, that time, that was it. That was it. If we're not going out partying, like if you just want the real me, I don't have that for you.
Yeah, you don't want that.
It's not interesting.
No.
It's not going to be good.
Yeah, there's a recall on that one.
Well, actually, I heard it blows up.
Yeah, and that's the shit right there. I was so scared of it. And then I'm like, oh. And then I go from that little instance, and I go to this other one where it's like, I can never have a beer with my boys. What do you mean? Football games and stuff. I was like, I don't even watch football. So there's that. But that goes through my mind. All the things I don't really do anyways, now they're starting to get some attention. It's like, now I'm like, oh, but I can never do this. Maybe if I know I don't do it now, but if I did, I don't have the option of actually doing it. So it's really freaking me out right now. That was me when I first came in here, as I never did any of these things, but now they're on the table because I'm trying to get into recovery and it scared the shit out of me, right? I had to make excuse, and making it impossible or making all these barriers for me actually to do the deed and actually surrender to the process of recovery. And it's just funny how things happen like that. And it still is true to this day. These things that I put in the way of like putting excuses when I'm fearful of certain things, I'll put these excuses in front of it, right? I think it's a human thing when that fear creeps in. Oh, I'll probably just do it next week, or I'll, this ain't for me. And you lose interest real quick. Like I'm the guy, like when fear will make me lose interest real quick in anything that I actually want to do, because I don't know. It just makes me, and then I'll make excuses in my head why I shouldn't do it. And that's what kept me stuck in my addiction for so long, those same behaviors. And and it happens more than not, especially when you have uncharted territory you're going through, like I have now, uncharted territory. And I get scared, man. I get freaking fearful. And so what happens if I can't? What happens if I can't make it through? What happens if I fail? That's a huge one. What happens if I fail? Talking about reservations, that's a big reservation right there of failure, fear of failure or failing in general or whatever. Like I've had that feeling of fear of failure my whole life. And I have worked on that specific area of my life a lot. Now, where I am today, where I used to be, tenfold, right? It is way past, I'm doing really good. I can come out of it a lot quicker too. It's reminding ourselves that, hey, we don't live like this anymore. This ain't happening. And then we can pull ourselves out of it. And it helps that we get reminders from people because we all crazy. Right, Caesar?
Dude, imagine. So for those people watching that don't know, my dad owned a ton of bars. That was his profession. And I owned bars. Just like my dad, my whole life was built around drinking. It was my livelihood and it was my life. So every time I'd get out of rehab, they'd go, you're not going to be able to successfully run a bar and be in recovery. And I'm like, I don't know what y'all are talking about. Just as long as I'm not doing heroin, I'll be good. Because I was completely unwilling to look at alcohol. it was not even on the table. Nothing that they could tell me would make me even look at it, because I was so afraid of what life would look like without it. I couldn't picture it. I couldn't fathom it. Like, what is that? What is a life without alcohol? That is my life, my entire life, my livelihood, everything. And for me, I had to lose freaking everything to even be willing to look at that. That's how much of a grip it had. And people would ask me, oh, you think you're an alcoholic? No, I'm not an alcoholic. Definitely an addict, though. Definitely. I'll admit that. But alcohol is not on the table to even be discussed. Like,
nope.
And I had to have my ass kicked because I was so afraid that I don't know. I put so much value on it. Everything that's fun and good in life was attached to alcohol. And you didn't watch football. I watched football, and I associated football and alcohol and going out in the boat and alcohol and the beach, alcohol and relationships and alcohol.
Baby showers was alcohol. What do you mean? Baby showers, birthdays, kids' birthdays.
Where do you meet people? If you don't go to the bar, what do you mean? Like, how am I supposed to meet people?
Go get a YMCA card? Hell no.
it didn't make any sense to me, man. And I really had to be humbled and just, once you lose everything, you're willing to look at things that you weren't willing to before. And then it's okay. Maybe this alcohol thing might be an actual for real problem, because every time I drank, I ended up back to my drug of choice and ended up back behind bars. And I had to make that connection, whatever time it took for that connection to be made in my head. Eventually I came to the realization that it just had to be everything. Everything had to go. Drugs and alcohol.
Yep. Yeah, I'm with you on that. The alcohol, I had to admit that I could never drink again. And as soon as I did that, that's when recovery kicked in. What's going on, Melissa?
I don't have any of that cool stuff.
You can for the low price of an apple.
I'm going to have my son come in here and flick the lights.
I thought you were going to say, I'm going to have my son come in here and flick you off.
That's my sign. Every time I do this, my son comes in and flicks you the bird. Oh, I'm grateful to be here. I love you guys. I love my Hope Shop family. I'm either, you guys have me on, I love to participate, or I'm always on the other side watching, blowing up the comments. I love this. I love what you bring up here, Caesar, and then Justin. A lot of what you said and went into off of it, I relate to, because we talked about it a little bit earlier today. I was thinking about it while you were talking, though. I don't know if this is the most healthy route or if this is the right way to go. It probably isn't, but I'm just sharing my experience. When I first started out on this last attempt at recovery, the one I'm on now, that checking off the list and those reservations were all I knew how to do, right? That's all I knew. That was my mentality. And sometimes today still is. It gets me into trouble. But it got me to where I needed to be for my spiritual awakening to begin. So if there's anybody out there that's watching this or listening to us, there's no, you drop the bottle, you stop drinking, you stop using, and then all of a sudden you are going to be able to drop the reservations, right? It's a working progress, moving forward, like you said, one day at a time thing. And I'm always wanting the instant gratification. That has not left me yet. I'm 10 plus years in and I'm still looking for it. I fall victim to it all the time. But the checking off the list, it helped me get to a certain point. And then at some point, once I was no longer facing going to prison for 2 years, we were able to relocate and get into a house. We make jokes I was in Aruba or whatever, but we celebrated as a family there, because that's not where we've always been. Like, when we moved here, we were selling furniture out of our house to have money for the truck to get up here. When we took our kids to the YMCA when we were down in Atlanta, still before we moved, they thought we were taking them there to play basketball and have fun on a school night. We were heroes in their eyes, but we needed them to be able to shower before they went to school the next day. So we struggled, right? But there's a lot of checking off lists. I write about that in my book. There was a long spreadsheet that kept me safe for a certain amount of time because I could just focus. Today, what am I going to do? I know that I need to show up to court or I go to jail. I know that I need to go to the drug test and I can't, I have to do these certain steps in order for that to happen on time. I have to go to my counseling appointments. Of course, I have to make it through the day. The sun goes down without me taking a drink or popping a pill. So that worked for a while. When you get into a certain phase, you start working the steps, or you just, if you're not a 12 stepper and you're starting to notice just a spiritual shift or a shift in your recovery, eventually it happens. What you're talking about, Caesar, is exactly right. It's time to look and dig a little deeper. We're not in survival mode anymore. Do you know what I mean? When I was doing that, checking off the list and holding tight to those reservations, because that is what I was using to get kind of keep my head above water. I got to a point where I wasn't wanting to be in survival mode anymore. I want to live life. And I kind of went through that again just recently. You know, I think I was on sometime in like January and I talked about it's time to get a new sponsor. It's time to go back through the steps again. It's time to reevaluate some things. Because I had a really successful year last year with Sober Now, with writing and with getting to travel and getting to speak and getting to meet new people. And there was a lot of growth. I asked for unity and God gave it to me. Like, and it was coming at me hard and I never really slowed down. And on a personal level, there was a lot of shifts and changes. And I was just trying to balance it all. And I decided at the beginning of this year that I shared this last time I was on, I wanted to just run and I don't want to do anything anymore because that's what I do. Not because I'm lazy, because I get full of fear, like Justin was talking about, and I'm a runner. I just wanted to drop it off and I just wanted to be normal. Like, I don't want to have to do the work. I don't have to do any of that. I just want to go to my job, check in, check out, and then go to bed. But that is not what God has planned for me. That is not the divine purpose of why I didn't lose my, I didn't unalive myself. I don't know how you're supposed to say it online anymore. I almost get scared to say stuff. You can't tell. Y'all, most of y'all know I could have lost the battle on my basement floor, but I believe I was granted another chance. And so with that, there comes a responsibility of sharing that with other people. And through that, my gift that I get to use is to talk to people like this or to through my writing. And I just decided this year that those things are important and my recovery is important and sharing recovery with others is important. Very important. There's a totem pole and it kind of ebb and flows. There's God's always at the top. Sometimes my husband's here. Sometimes he gets pushed way down here, but recovery stays way up there. It's high up there and it's important to me, but so is living. And so is losing some of those reservations that I place on things and those expectations that I place on myself that were kind of taking the living part out of my scenario. So I could look at last year and I could say it was a great success. I have a nonprofit that just formed. Sober Now's gone nonprofit. That's exciting. I could go on and on. The book's getting translated into Spanish. I'm getting ready to launch another book with Women World Leaders. I have a lot of stuff outside of just my job and being a mom, things that are happening. But I wasn't living. I was like chasing that thing you were talking about, Justin. Like, what's next? Okay, what can I do next? And then I was overextending myself. And then I was getting exhausted. And then I was burning myself out. And then I wasn't good for anybody, including myself. I don't feel like my recovery was ever like at risk. But it was at risk because the beautiful thing about our recovery paths is living. It's the living. We were dead so long. Our souls were dead for years, some people decades. I know for me. And to be awakened, to have our souls awakened, to have this beautiful connection with our Creator and with each other and these opportunities to grow together and live this life worth living, you got to live. And so you got to let down some of the reservations. I'm human. That's it. I'm always going to be fearful. Justin and I were chatting a little bit on the phone. I wanted to catch up and find out. Hope Shot's got a lot of great stuff going on. It's no wonder y'all are so tired. You guys are like banging it out. Like, I don't, y'all don't, I need to go down there, do like some news report and have Rudolph do a reel or something, because I would love to go and brag to the world some of the stuff that y'all are doing. I'm so proud of you. But we were just talking about these things, that uncharted territories that we are finding ourselves going into. God is constantly opening these doors and opportunities, and we're kind of just going along for the ride. And remember, just we've said several times, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just doing it. Like because we don't always know what we're doing. And I wasn't conditioned growing up that it was okay to cry, that it's okay to fail, and that it's okay to be scared. And it's not okay to not know. Like, you're stupid if you don't know. And so those things are constant triggers that I work through counseling, through writing, through my recovery, through working with a sponsor, through just being authentic and honest with y'all about my insecurities. And I don't really know. I don't think I have any great answers or like whatever for you. I just know that I identify with what y'all are saying because it's right where I'm at. I just would like that balance of where I can be of service, continue to grow this relationship with God. Like, for the first time in my life, there's a peace within my heart and my soul, even in some of the darkest times that I've never experienced before in my entire life. And I know it wouldn't be in existence if I wasn't sober one day at a time. And I'm just always so grateful to connect with y'all and share. So that's what I got.
Thanks, Melissa. I'm glad you're here. I'm doing it first, Caesar. So there's that. Where's this thing at? There it is. What are you liking? I don't hear you. I love the sound of your voice. Melissa. It's always funny because we're always usually right in the same frequency of this life. All of us, man, we're all in the same frequency. And as soon as we can identify that and see how much we're connected more than we're apart, I think that's where change happens. Because we all go through the same thing. Even the committee inside my head sounds like yours. Tell me exact same shit it's telling you. I don't belong. This ain't going to work out. What are you doing this for? You idiot. Sometimes it gets vulgar with me. I'm like, whoa, hey, you better watch your mouth. How dare you? Put some respect on my name. No. Caesar, sorry. I was playing.
It's no problem. I just wanted to say it before Nate got on, because he's been over there loading up, getting ready to drop bombs. So
he looked a little tired, not bomby.
That's okay. He's got bombs. But what Melissa was saying is that I don't know if I'm saying it right, but we had this thing in our house that said, in the pursuit of happiness, don't forget to stop and be happy. And like, you going to Aruba, we're always in the pursuit of happiness, but we're in high pursuit all the time. And I almost never slow down to appreciate the blessings of right where I am. I never slow down and go, man, look at where I am. Like, it's absolutely insane compared to where I came from. I tell my guys, I'm like, it's not, say, 5 years, it's not the temptation to use that's going to take you out. It's the damn blessings that are going to take you out, because you shift your focus and your life gets so good. And you're like, the next thing, recovery is like, well, I got to go to work, and then I got this and I got that. And well, I'll go to the meeting next week. And you really have to be careful, because all the stuff you prayed for, when it comes to fruition, it's a lot, and it can be a bigger distraction than anything else. And somebody in the comments said, job, this, that, whatever, my recovery has to come first. I never really understood that until I was around for a little while. Like, without my recovery, none of this stuff exists. I have a solid track record that shows me that there ain't no house, there's no family. I burn it all down. So the recovery piece, God, recovery, it has to be first on the list. And everything else will be all right after that. But if I start bumping that down, I didn't touch anything, Justin.
I did.
100%.
I'm over here.
But it has to be the priority every day. Everything else can follow after that. All my responsibilities, all the things that I have to do in the day. But I got to get right in the morning and get into my recovery mindset and do what I got to do to be busy in that before I get busy with everything else.
Yeah, because those blessings can be a freaking pain in the ass too. I'll tell you right now. I pray for this, man. I pray for this, but then I'm like, what the hell? What's going on right now? This is not what I prayed for.
And well, I prayed for
complaining.
Yeah, and now I'm busier than I want to be. Or I pray and I pray, can I get my license back, please? And now I want to complain about traffic. I pray else, and I'm like, man, now I got to work twice as hard to pay for this house. It's always something. But that's why I have to be spiritually fit and in my recovery first. Mm-hmm. Then I can deal with all the other things and the goals and the pursuit of happiness and all of that.
That's it. That's right there.
And then I can go to Aruba and just be happy. That's how it goes. That's what it is. I mean, sober Aruba. That was a choreographed. I just want you to know.
All right. We're gonna hear Nate. What's up, Nate?
Yo. Good show. Everybody's got great comments, great perspective. I was just been thinking what I could add to something that's already so great. So I was just thinking, like, what were my biggest reservations? All right, that's what I was kind of contemplating. And I think my greatest reservation before I got here, there was a couple actually. One, I only understood after I surrendered and started this process all over again this last time. But the one reservation was the idea that I could get loaded like other people. That was my greatest reservation. And they call that, in our literature, they talk about it's like the great obsession of every drinker, right? Is that one day, somehow, that I am going to be able to do what I want to do without the consequences. You know, it drove me through the gates of insanity and almost death, man. You know, because I just had this idea that I could figure out the magic formula somehow. You know, that if I just did this one thing, I'd be okay. If I did that thing, Caesar touched on it, you know, that if he could still do the alcohol. And but if you're anything like me, no matter what I do, it always leads me back to what I really want to do. So I think that was like one of my greatest reservations. And the sad part about it is I didn't even realize it was a reservation. I didn't understand how deeply embedded into my psyche, my being, that was. The second one would be I didn't want to admit I was this way, right? I didn't want that. And in order to really, truly complete the first step or phase of my recovery, I have to fully concede that I am this way, that I am an alcoholic or an addict. I have to be fully convinced that I have this problem. If I'm not convinced of this, how am I going to ever recover? Of course, I'm going to have reservations, just like that's why I failed in all my other recovery attempts, because I didn't truly admit to my innermost self that I have this thing, this disease, right? And that I cannot successfully use any substances in any form at all. Nothing. I can't do anything ever again. And once I finally did that, what I thought would be so difficult and so defeating, like Caesar said, I couldn't conceive of what life would be like without substances and alcohol. I had it was fucking terrifying, you know, to never, and you know what, let's talk about the realness of this thing, man. There were times that those feelings, the substances and alcohol brought me were like pretty fucking cool, man. Or I wouldn't have kept trying to find it and do it and replicate it. I felt good. How could your recovery in your God make me feel like I did when I ate like three really good ecstasy pills, right? There ain't no way. That shit feels amazing, right? Like how could I ever feel like that? And that's what I compared it to. I thought like, how do you match that, right? And which is a great segue into my next great big reservation, which was that I didn't know what God was, nor did I want anything to do with it. You know, I had so many prejudices, preconceived notions, ideas, like about what it was and what it meant to me, meant that I was uncool, spiritual people were lame, that there is no way that this faith, this God of yours is doing for you what my substances and alcohol are doing for me. No, you can't. It's not tangible. Show me God. Show it to me. Let me see it. Give me God in a pill. I'll take it, right? But you can't see it, right? And Melissa said, I need instant gratification. And I wasn't willing to do the work, nor was I even willing. It was not conducive to the life I was living. And I didn't think I deserved anything God-like or forgiving, or I just didn't feel like I deserved it. I didn't feel like I was worthy of redemption or another way or another life or another chance. That was the greatest reservation. Now, in retrospect, I understand, because that prejudice and that non-belief kept me from the very thing that would ultimately save and transform my entire existence. The very foundation of which I stand upon today is my God and my higher power, and how I choose to nurture and enlarge and enrich that relationship on a daily basis. Yeah. And I don't know this shit when I come in here. Man, I didn't even really know it till like year two or three, once I go through this thing a couple times. Because guess what? When I come in here, I'm just following instructions. I'm just trying to feel relief. I'm in pain. I hurt. And I'm finally done. And that's why I finally started to take suggestions, because I'm finally done. And there's another reservation. I didn't buy what you were selling, you know, because I wasn't ready to. And until I'm beaten and broken and pathetic and desperate enough, I can't really open my eyes to this different way of life. It's a terrible irony with us people like us, right? That I have to be in enough pain to really start taking this shit seriously. So, yeah. And now, so I have all these revelations. I get connected to this power, and my life starts to transform. And what I see today more than anything, what my reservations have turned into self-limiting beliefs. Those are all my reservations today. Those ideas that still crop up, that I'm not worthy, that I'm not a business owner, man. This landscape company I have, it's not like Buddy's over there. I don't have the fancy trailer and all the cool equipment and fancy dump trailers and stuff. So I'm not a good business owner, right? I'm not doing this thing right. Oh man, why even try to make it grow? These are the reservations I have today. Then these things are crippling, but in a subtle, sneaky, come in like a disguise type of way. I don't realize what they truly are when I'm faced with them. Because like Justin says, man, they come in like in a thousand different forms. They come in my insecurities and my lack of self-worth, or they come as fears. So you never know. I don't know. They come up dressed and then they come in procrastination. They come in not following through. They come in all these different guises. Or like with Justin and Caesar, like with our organization, we're around sheriff's department, fire department, politicians. And I'm like, what am I doing here, man? Really? Like, this is how my disease wants to still work in my life. And this is my form of reservation today, is this idea that I am still who I used to be. But guess what? I am not that person anymore. How am I reminded of that on a daily basis? Because guess what? Left to my own devices, without a spiritual solution that I'm applying, principles in my daily affairs, I will start to believe I am that person again. And so I have to be super vigilant, man. I have to understand that without this God, this higher power that I used to scoff at, that I used to make fun of, if you believed in it, if I don't have a really tight knit, close, intimate relationship with this power, I will go back into, I will regress. I'll start to believe I am that person. I have these really nasty, twisted, scary nightmares almost every night that want to remind me of who I used to be and what I used to do and where I used to do it at. And let me think, just to give you a glimpse of how strong this power is, I get up, I get on my knees, I pray, I get into some reading, I get into some meditation, I get into some gratitude, and those nightmares are washed away. I was at a meeting the other day, and this guy walked in and he said, man, I have terminal cancer and I wanted to drink today, but I knew I had to get to a meeting. What? And this is how strong this power is. And I'm telling you, if you guys connect to this power, it will put your problems, your reservations, your fears, your anxiety, and your worries to rest. I'm not saying it'll put them rest for forever. It'll put them to rest as long as you are applying this principles on a daily basis and seeking contact. Because guess what? This power doesn't exist when we're just being lazy or not moving our feet or not actively seeking them with our mind, heart, or spirit, right? Yeah. What do I do today to eliminate my reservations? I seek God in everything I do. And not only that, I bring him into my daily life. Now, it's not like a please and a thank you, a morning and a night routine. It's a active relationship with my higher power, because without it, I will slip back into those reservations or my self-limiting beliefs. Oh, shit, I'll start to doubt the very power that transformed my life. That's what my mind wants to do. It wants to bring me back down to that subconscious psyche level where my nightmares still exist, where I still think that I am the same person that doesn't deserve recovery, doesn't deserve God, doesn't deserve love, a family, none of it. Only through diligence, constant work, and constant seeking can I hope, you know, that I have a daily reprieve from this crazy shit that happens in my head. But thankfully, there is a solution. Thankfully, I am humble enough to know that I don't know shit. And I have to still keep seeking and learning and being open to receive whatever messages I'm meant to receive, and having the humility to understand that these lessons aren't going to come, obviously, they're going to come from the most obscure and unexpected places. They're not going to come when I'm feeling all great and things are going well. They're going to come in the midst of adversity and stress and confrontation and all of these things, where that's where my defects and my reservations and my lack of understanding is always peaked, right? Always in the mess. But thankfully, we have a spiritual solution today that solves all of it. I'm just grateful to be a part of that. I'm grateful to be proud of that relationship, the very one that I used to make fun of people for. Today, I'll tell anybody that wants to listen, and maybe if you don't even want to listen, I'll tell you anyway, about, you know, the all healing and beautiful power that I get to have access to. And guess what? All of you guys have access to it too. It's not exclusive. It's available to anybody who wants to do some fucking work and get busy and start seeking it. I pray that you guys find out what that relationship is like. That's all I got. Thank you.
That's it. Tap in. Access. Get to work. All right. See you guys. It's been a great show. Just kidding. Just kidding. She's like, what? Oh, man. That was good stuff, Nate. Thanks for coming on, even though you're tired. See? We had nothing. We have nothing coming on the show. And here we are. All this nothing turned into something. So we just show up.
Just like our past, right?
Yeah. It was all nothing, and now it's something.
But it has a purpose.
Funny how those things work.
Yeah.
That's why I said, when we get stuck like that, let's just go on. Something will happen.
Yeah. Some.
And it did. We somethinged the heck out of it.
Yeah, good stuff, guys. Thank you.
If I could just get to something. I always say, man, recovery flipped the script on me. You know, I was like, every little detail in my life, it flipped it on me. What I used to think about something is now nothing, or nothing is something. Wait, I'm confused now. You know what I mean. And everybody probably already knows what I mean too. But yeah, I'm blaming everybody for my problems. It was always me. How, like, I'll never be anything and I can never do anything because of, I got all these felonies and da 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 da. That's a lie. There's so many things that it changed and what took all this shit to from nothing to something.
You know what those statements do? They take away having to try. When you say that stuff, when you go, man, I can never have a good life. I can never have the job that I want because of it. Like, when you buy into that, then you don't have to try to do it and you can stay stuck right where you are. Like, mm-hmm. I did that stuff for years. Oh, I'm a felon, man. I'm multiple convictions. I can't be anybody.
Right.
Nope. So I'm right where I'm supposed to be. I'm a junkie. I just talk down to myself constantly. And it took somebody to believe in me more than I believed in myself which really wasn't that hard. I didn't have any belief in myself. But when somebody took an interest and said, no, man, you can be something better than this, I needed that. And that's, I feel like we all need that, because you can't see it yourself. You can't see the way out. You can't see the light. When you're in the mess, you can't see any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of this recovery process, is someone that's already gone from that darkness and is living in the light can reach back, grab you, and show you that there is a different way. Because I got to be showed. You can't tell me, because I don't believe you. I don't believe anybody, because I was a liar. So why wouldn't you be a liar? Like, I got to be grabbed and drug along. And then I go, wow.
Not drugged. No, not drugged. Okay. No.
Maybe
tagged.
Just grabbed. I think that's why we go. I feel like that's why we do what we do and what we're doing now. Yeah, we're sometimes at the point of like exhaustion and overwhelmed and all that, but it's because we get to show that people that little glimpse of acceptance, that little bit of somebody cares, to help them feel like somebody. And it's crazy. We pour into people. We try our best to pour into people, because those limiting belief systems that we have when we first get in here are very strong, very strong. Because my disease wants to isolate me and keep me away from people, and wants to tell me all the good things and bad things and all that stuff about myself that I'm truly not, but it likes to keep me locked up and isolated and alone in this thing.
The opposite of addiction.
Connection. Yep.
That's it. Oh man, good show. Something to nothing to something. That's where we're gonna name it.
Yeah,
nothing to something. I gotta say what's up to some people real quick. We got Wayne Scott in the house. What's up, Wayne?
What up, Wayne?
We got Cheryl.
Neat. It's very neat that you're here.
Oh. We got jokes.
We got Cheryl. Good to see you. Let's see. There's a couple more. We got Matt Sullivan. Have to.
What up, Matt?
Spiritual disciplines, no matter how many blessings come into my life.
Amen.
It's a responsibility. Now we got these blessings. It's a responsibility that we have to upkeep by maintenance. That's it. Love that. And let's see. And yeah, we got Jennifer. Good to see you, Jennifer. Shouting out Melissa. And we got, oh, Big Steve. That's where I'm coming to. What up, Big Steve?
Big Steve.
We got Dina, the imposter syndrome. I am worthy. That's right. And I think that's it. Yeah. Oh, there we go. We got Rio says, thank you guys for coming on every Sunday and doing what you do, not only here, but also in the community. You all are mazeballs. Totes to mazeballs.
Way to end it, Rudolph.
He has a way with words.
He certainly does.
Well, thank you all for being here tonight. Thank you for your comments, for your shares, for your likes, for your love, for all of it. Thank you, Melissa, for coming on tonight. And I swear one day, you're going to be able to do this. And I believe in you, okay? Because we take nothing and make it something. And that's what today is. We love you all, man. Hope you guys have a great week. And we will see you next week. Peace.